I'm not the brand, I'm not the Instagram page, I'm not the business. Simple guy who refused to believe people's limitations, that was my ending. I refused to quit. I understand the concept of 100 hours a week. I remember leaving my office at 3 in the morning and then going back to work again at 8 in the morning. That was me for almost 47 months. My first year, I was rejected 617 times.
617
times the first year. I counted it because it was very personal.
Everyone is chasing comfort these days. Why did you decide to chase suffering and risk?
Comfort is beige. Beige is boring and you don't grow that way. For the first 5 years of my business, I just basically was zero. I was living with my mom. I had a small Nissan hatchback. No watches, nothing, none of these things.
And that story, most people didn't even know about you. All right, we're here with another special episode with a great friend of mine. Just recently, we got to know each other. I would love to introduce Ahmed bin Shaiba. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So for the audience that are listening here, most of them that maybe have seen you, they think of you of Aquafun. But I want to ask you this question. Who is Ahmed behind the social media, behind the Aquafun, behind everything else?
I'm not the brand, I'm not the Instagram page, I'm not the business. Just simple guy who refused to believe that, to believe people's limitations, that was my ending. I refused to quit, and I understand the concept of 100 hours a week.
100 hours a week?
Yeah, I understand the concept. But most people, unless you understand the concept, we can't vibrate in the same frequency.
Tell me more.
Because I learned very much very early, and then nobody's coming to save me, and nobody's going to have my back, and nobody's going to be there for me. So okay, fine. So I have to get my back, my own self. So instead of trying to always get approval and get permissions, I just decided, no, let me make my own thing. And then that was how I started. Like, I remember leaving my office at 3 in the morning and then going back to work again at 8 in the morning. That was me for almost 47 months.
47 months? You were
no days off.
You were working your day job and at the same time you were starting a business? Okay.
Pure business. Because I left my jobs and then it was reality, okay, I'm doing this business. I had no idea what I was doing.
What was that first business?
This one, Aquafun.
Aquafun was the first business you were doing.
That was the beginning, that's where we are.
I'm suggesting, like, for this type of business, you require significant funding to know what you're doing.
I had no idea zero about what water is, water parks are, how to operate, how to manage, how to maintain, how to step, zero. And that was one part of it. The second part, getting permissions. What do you mean you want to rent the water to operate an inflatable water park in the water? And that was another world I had to go through. Again, it's not about the funding, it's about just like, okay, difference between most people is not the idea, it's about the execution.
Mm-hmm.
The execution is what differentiates people. You know, the most, I had this video before, the most viable property in the world is a graveyard because it had billions of dollars of ideas. We all have ideas, but the difference between all of us is who execute. And even execution, who actually succeed.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all fail. And the issue of people, oh, I failed once, twice. Okay, and?
What happened next?
Yeah. Cool. Then what? You had a goal. Did you get your goal? No. So why you quit? And that was the whole thing in my head. I never quit. Never quit.
Were you always wired this way, differently than most people?
School failed me. Jobs were very hard to maintain for so long because I perform differently. I'm very creative. I'm dyslexic, which means reading for me. I don't read. I don't get information by reading. I'm ADHD, which means, oh, it's a button. It is means I can have a level of focus on things that I actually like. If I like this thing, my level of focus, my 2 hours is you doing it for a whole week. My dyslexia means I see the world a different perspective. It's superpowers. But because traditional and normal school education systems and university does not help that individual. So it was very hard. Through family and friends, nobody believed what I was doing. Normal, because again, you cannot judge a fish from able to fly. And that's fine. And then I found my own way and went through it and failed alone and failed hundreds of times. And now we're here. I remember very well the numbers. My first year, I was rejected 617 times.
617
times the first year. I counted it because it was very personal. almost
is it from the same place you were getting rejected?
I opened the UAE map. I went to every single owner of every single beach in the whole country.
Okay, so not only that one specific place. You were trying to do it anyway.
Everybody. I was getting at least one to three people telling me no every day. Every single day.
So how do you make that no become a yes?
Please one yes.
How did you make it happen? That yes.
Not quitting. It's just not quitting because I wanted to do it this way, then I couldn't make it. So, okay, fine. I need to find something else that can make money, that I can do this. Okay, fine. Let's switch to something else. It was, I remember I started making money again through selling slides for yachts. So I literally went to every single marina in Dubai, in Ajman, in Sharjah, in Abu Dhabi, and I was knocking to every single yacht, meeting every captain. Hi, do you want this? Let's do this. Until one guy, I remember his name very well, his name's Kumar, he was handling four different yachts. Tell me, what's my commission? He's like, commission? How much do you want? It's like 15%. Psh, whatever. I was like, how is time with it? And then 3 hours later, first time I get a text from the bank, I got some money for the last 12 months. So, oh God, Kumar, where are you? And his commission. And then I repeat the same thing again 40 times and 40 times, closed. Ah, okay. And then I bought the first park and then second park and then got some investors and then I got bankrupt and got sued and partners and
A lot of things have happened.
Happy days.
That's the thing. It's like they think that just setting up the business, you might succeed and you feel like success is just going to be flourishing with a lot of different good things that is going to happen in your life. But I think the moment you become successful, you also become a target.
Even before.
Really?
Even focused, again, when you start doing your business, now you are getting out of the norm and everybody sees you as a threat or he's trying to be better than me. And people in general do not want other people to be better than them, which is absolutely fine. We have this illusion that you think because you open a business, all your friends and family can be supportive. Nope. That's far-fetched from reality. You need to be good.
You didn't have that support?
Oh, no, zero. Zero. Absolutely zero, which is fine. Yes, mom and dad, because they're wired that way to help you, 100%. But come to the circle, okay, cool. But nobody comes in like, okay, share my post. You know, do a like, you know, follow. None of these things. But it was like, you know, I remember my first 10,000 followers because I was literally personally every single day on the beach. Every customer comes in, follow me. I have no Wi-Fi. Okay, here's a hotspot. Follow me. It was literally that way. You know, it was that way. It was that level of like persistence and consistency.
So, in this world, while everyone is chasing comfort these days, why did he decide to chase suffering and risk?
Comfort is beige. Beige is boring and you don't grow that way. You know, yes, again, why give away your freedom with the illusion of comfort? I did not see myself as a person sitting in an office and like go to work and have a salary. You never grow from there. And I always wanted more.
But isn't that normal for most people? Yeah. They feel that is normal.
That's fine.
But you didn't feel that.
Yes, that's fine. Again, they call us 1% for a reason. We're 1% of the population who will be doing that. Not everybody can handle that level of, again, are you ready to be broke, tested emotionally, spiritually, financially for the next 3-4 years? No. You know, are you ready to be, you know, broke for a very long time? Because yes, you know, like it's like just like hockey stick, nothing, and it hits in. But can you hold it nothing for a long time? Most people can't.
So how long did that take for you?
Because after my first year, I had a partner that time. We did a lot of mistakes legally or documentary or contractually, very big mistakes. He ran away and left me with 1.8 million dirhams of debt.
So 1.8 million?
Yeah. So for the first 4 years, I'm fighting to go to zero.
Wow.
I'm fighting to go. So I'm making money. But the money is going to pay for debts and salaries and everything else. I'm missing nothing. So for the first 5 years of my business, I just basically was zero. I was living with my mom. I had a small Nissan hatchback. I was no watches, nothing, none of these things. Zero. Just like nonstop. And then I think after the fifth year, or beginning of sixth year, I paid myself for his small salary. I felt very guilty. Felt very guilty about that.
How did you maintain yourself for the 5 years to come?
I left back to my family. I was living over 500 dirhams. I wasn't going to any restaurants, nothing fancy, old phone, old car, normal clothes, nothing. It was one focus. This have to work.
And that story most people didn't even know about.
Yeah, that's fine. People think I'm looking at was bumming money. Okay, cool. Again, people will think you're the villain or the hero, and you're neither.
Mm.
People go, oh, you were bumming this and so on. Okay, fine. Because that's the excuse for them not to do it. Or you, that's either way, neither. Doesn't matter. Because again, if I take people's opinion and try to pay my rent, I can't do it. So why should it matter how I operate my life?
So all that struggle for Aquafun.
Yes. Yes.
How's Aquafun doing right now?
It's fun.
Still fun.
It's fun, yeah. It's still fun. For
now. I always wonder, like, how did you get your, like, first customer to Aquafun?
For me, I'm in the business of creating happy memories.
Mm-hmm.
And the vessel is the water park. You put, and it's a very big visual thing. You see it, what is this? They ask questions, they go in. Or you see somebody else playing it, you come and play in it. And then just go from there over and over again. The people hated it, people loved it, and that's normal.
So did you use like marketing? Did you use to market? What did you do in order to increase your customer base?
Social media, yeah.
Through ads?
No, zero ads. I haven't paid a single ad in the first 8 years.
Oh, wow.
Zero ads. It was, I believed if you create something dope and awesome, people come to it. And I understood that I'm saying the emotional fun. So I made sure every video I record was people actually having fun.
Mm.
And then I just started recording, hey, can I record your video? Yeah, sure, no problem. I started recording the video and then went from there to start inviting influencers. I would invite every day. There was literally, I was every single day inviting at least 100 people. Every day, I was at least giving 100 DMs, at least every single day. So every month, I was having between 70 to 200 influencers coming to Water Park for free. So I used to invite them. When they come, I would host them. I would shoot the videos myself. I would file a drone myself. I would edit pictures myself, the videos myself. I would send to them. I would follow up with them to give me reviews. And then they post about it. For the first, I think for almost 5 years, 7 years. Sorry, 7 years.
How do you go about finding 200 influencers at the same time? I really can't find like...
Every month. It's literally, like I figured out science behind it. Like, okay, because they would be in the same locations, on the same hashtags. I go in, I will engage the community. I will find them. I will invite everybody. And then whoever sees it replies from every 100, you know, 5 will say yes. Okay, come over. I take care of them. And just consistently, every single day I was doing that. Every single day. For 7 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was all by yourself?
All by myself.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's always incredible. What did make Aquafun really stop from being just a business and become a mission for you? Because it feels more like a mission rather than a business. You've suffered for 5 years.
Yeah.
You've suffered in terms of getting 617 rejections.
First year only. That's first year.
First year.
It's more.
So all that suffering, it felt like this was a purpose and a mission for you.
The fact that there's hundreds and thousands of people going every single day on the water parks, and then they are creating new happy memories because of me, it's an amazing feeling. There was once this autistic kid running up and down the water park and screaming and laughing, and I saw his father on the beach. He was crying. He came to me, he's like, are you the owner? Yeah, my kid is afraid of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the first time I ever see him laugh and smile this way since 11 years. And for me, it triggered me, okay, wow, I'm doing something different. And then from there, I continue going there. Like sometimes I have people coming over, like you can see the kid is like, you know, special needs, go for free. Like orphans, go for free. I lose nothing by that. You know, what do you lose? Again, that 2, 3, 4 tickets, I'm not going to lose anything from that. But ultimately, I'm creating this new ambassador, a new emotion for somebody else that I could do.
Was there ever a crazy moment that happened there?
Oh, so many. So many. Again, this autistic kid. That was one big one. Because I remember I had a location once in Oman. Same thing, you know, another autistic kid, afraid of the water, and he was just jumping down, up and down, him and his father. And it's like his father came and just gave me a big, long hug and kissing me. He's like, who are you? It's like, my kid never hugged me, never kissed me, never laughed. And he is just up and down for the last hour in the slide that you made. And I said, okay, wow, that's powerful.
Where did you go about designing the whole, what, I don't know what they call the term for it, but the tubes?
Super park, yeah.
Yeah. Where did you go about finding this?
Dyslexia. It's a superpower. It is a beautiful superpower that, you know, I enjoy. The story happened, I was working in an event for leisure and events. And these guys stopped me, hey, what do you do, Aquafun? Like, I'm the owner. Please come, I want to talk to you. And then these guys were like the biggest producer in the world at that time. Now I am the biggest one. And tell me, we had this new concept of like, you know, we can write letters. Okay, immediately on the spot, open Google and the Dubai logo. Remember when we just came to Dubai logo with the Arabic and English? It's like, I want the same one to be a water park.
Mm.
It's like, oh, okay, let's do that. And then, okay, it cost a lot of money. And I was in debt that time, so I can't pay for it. It's like, well, you have to pay for it. It's like, okay, how about it? Give me 2 weeks. And then that's when I got the contract for the location. I worked at the location for it without even having the product. And like, okay, I have the location, give it to me. And then I managed to negotiate with them payment terms for the next 8 months.
Interesting.
And I made it happen.
I'm just curious, like, how do you actually rent a space on a beach?
That's still a hard story to do.
Yeah. It's like you're one of a kind story where you set up a business on a beach and it's just like in the middle of the water. Like, yeah. This is your business.
It's
right there.
That's it. And people know it now. Everybody knows it.
Everybody knows it. Yeah. I go to JPR. That's your business right there.
Exactly. Yeah. I own the beach, basically.
Which is now, I mean, it's being occupied by a lot of solid hotels.
Yes. Right. It's 197 hotels.
Yes.
That line.
And I think some of the hotels, they occupy specific beaches.
Yeah, yes.
That's very interesting. But let's say, give an example. If Aquafun disappeared tomorrow, what do you think people would actually remember?
Not the brand, not the water park. I think it's just the emotions and memories they made there. I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, yeah, we had fun there with my kids. I had fun with my friends. I think that's, for me, is a very powerful narrative. And again, it's not the location or me or the stuff. It's just like the memory they had there. That's the powerful thing about it.
Wonderful. I'm sure, like, I've seen, like, you know how the nostalgic videos of Past of Dubai back in 2007, back in 2006? A lot of people feel they miss that old version of Dubai. There's a specific things that remember them.
Yeah.
I think Aquafun might be one of those.
Yeah. Be interesting. If it was that time, it'd be interesting how it go. I actually have pictures of the water park when the Ain Dubai was not there.
Hmm.
I have pictures, like literally, I have pictures of the water park and the Ain Dubai behind it. And like you can see, it's only this, I mean, growing and growing and growing and growing, became the whole thing. It's hilarious.
I mean, there's so much. I mean, if you think about Dubai, before COVID time was much different even than after COVID.
Even before, because we're from here. So we saw pre-2000 and after 2000 and 2008 and 2010.
Yes.
And then the speed, because it's very fast here. Very, very fast.
For sure. I mean, you think about it, every day there's something new coming. New initiatives, new projects, new government initiatives as well.
Every time I travel somewhere.
It never stops.
Yeah, every time I travel somewhere, it's like, you guys have so much to catch up. Every country I go to has so much to catch up.
For sure, for sure. And that's a blessing that we live here. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Now, you've mentioned you had 9 other companies that you work for. You're not only, like, you're known famously for Aquafun, but you have 9 other companies that you do right now.
I'm doing more, inshallah. But again, I think because that's a very loud thing and the other things are more industrial-driven, very different. But I think the smartest thing I managed to do the last 2-3 years is creating the personal brand. That was the biggest power move because, okay, when you have that social brand and you become more. Like, I think last month I won number one business influencer in the UAE.
Wow.
I'm number 21 in the world.
Allah.
And for me, like, wow. And when I saw the list, like, Gary Vee is like 5 spots above me. It's like, wow. How did that happen? I have no idea. But I think it's just level of consistency and being real is a very important thing.
That was very nice.
Yeah.
That's very nice. When I think about it, like, I don't see much business influencers here.
No. Which, again, I'm not
sure. Mostly entertainment.
Yeah. Again, you can choose what to share. Like, I have 3 different pages, and each page I'm a different persona.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have pages that I'm just doing my lifestyle, my travel, and set of things, and when I'm doing my business interviews and when I'm doing, like, you know, my other personalities. So again, I think people are afraid to go in front of the camera because they're afraid to share too much. No, you are the CEO. You can share what you want to share. But again, you have to be very purposeful and specific of what you want to get out of it. That's very important. You need to know what you want to get out of this thing.
What did you want to get out of? Right now, after everything,
I think it's just the hope that maybe I would trigger somebody to move 1 degree to the right or left, and their whole lineage might change. I might say something that triggers somebody who was going to quit, and they, oh, he didn't quit, I'm going to quit. And maybe that extra one, because extra one step, you reach your goal, and now your whole lineage, your wife, your kids, you kind of have moved because of that one word I say to you. That.
So let's talk about that.
Yes.
What's the biggest lie young entrepreneurs believe about success?
Success is not a straight line.
It's what?
Success is not a straight line. It's not overnight. Overnight success is nothing but like countless blood and tears or sleepless nights, rejections, all that stuff. People think they do it again for the wrong reasons. If it's only financial, you already lost. If it's about famous, you already lost.
So if I'm thinking about making money, I already lost?
Here's the thing.
Because I feel like a lot of people do business because they want to make money.
Yeah, money is a important factor. Extremely, I don't taboo money. Money is an amazing factor. It's like your top score. The more you make, the more higher you get. Yes. But again, you need to understand, don't expect it to happen overnight. Like, don't do it in the right principles and values and ethics. Don't cross somebody else's life. Don't scam somebody else's life. Do it in the right way. You know, why do you have to scam people to make money? Why do you have to, you know, lie and cheat and portray people to be what you become? That's my issue.
Maybe because they think it's easier than making a real business.
Again, short, you know, you can get the quick money and no headache. Fine.
But you lose your reputation forever.
Exactly. That's the most expensive thing you have. Again, here's the issue. Yani, one other thing. Sometimes you find like 6 barbers open next to each other, front to back. And they're all working. Or one is working on me. Why? Rizq is from Allah. That's from people. That's the people. All people, listen, you do your part. Because ayah, the Quran says, when you say yulakum, amalakum. So it's your work. We became a society of dua only. No, listen, Allah, ya Rabbi, I need $1 million. It's not going to happen.
Pursue the things.
Do the work and then I'll bless you. This is the problem when we became so lazy.
A lot of people do pray for things to happen in their life.
No, it doesn't happen.
But usually they're missing the action.
Yeah, kinetic energy is everything, yeah.
So you believe in energy?
Everything's energy.
Everything.
Everything's energy. Everything.
Explain one term.
Frequency. Okay, here's the thing. Like when I say frequencies, vibrations, okay? How do you get the one you get? Okay, they call it the law of attraction. Okay, but for you to attract it, you need to vibrate that way. So every vibration becomes a frequency, and that frequency becomes a magnet, attracts what you want. So if you're going to talk about negative things, negative things will come to you. Whatever you're going to say will come back to you. So choose what you're going to say. How are you today? Good. No, I always say phenomenal, tremendous, amazing. It will psych you up to become that way.
Sure.
So you have to choose what comes out of your mouth, because the devil only will take what you say. That's what's in your heart.
Because it's a lot of things that we think, like, why is this happening to us? People lose jobs, people lose their family, people lose their, you know, loved ones through relationship, breakup, divorce.
Yeah.
Is that because of vibration?
It's a choice.
It's a choice.
Yeah, relationships, they got screwed or fell apart because things happen. This is the habit. Oh, you just broke up or became divorced. No, there was a lot of signs. You were blind to them. You were doing wrong. Okay, again, here's the thing. Did you do your best? No, you didn't. Because if I say, I tried. No, trying and doing your best, two different things. Because, okay, if I said, Hamid, every day, you're going to wake up 6 in the morning, you're going to go to for the gym 2 hours, and you're going to eat clean and no more junk. In 3 months, you're going to be fit or not?
You should be fit if
you're
doing it right.
Because you got to try your best. But if you're going to sit down on your couch and eat shit, and eat junk food, and don't go to the gym, and just compare bad things, are you going to be fit? No. So again, there is truths and steps for things to work or don't work. So you can't break all the rules and accept why it's not working, because you're not doing the rules. There are steps. Do them, you become.
So what you do is what you become.
Exactly.
How do you stay focused in Dubai with so many distractions that are available?
Because I came from nothing. I'm self-made. My family is normal, mid-level family. They have never aspired to be anything. I know how much work it took for me to get where I get. So I'm not going to throw it away because some distractions. Plus, again, I don't have any of the bad habits. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't party. I'm a very circle, small circle of people. And the circle of people I have around me are only people who vibrate with me higher, or only grow together, push together. If we're not doing that, if you're making me healthier, wealthier, happier, I don't spend time with you. Healthier, wealthier, happier. If it's not one of those three things, don't waste my time. That's my rule.
So you say right now you have achieved everything. You've done everything. There's no distractions.
No, I just finished stretching. I'm warming up now to go in.
You're just beginning.
Yeah, I finished stretching. Now we're going to warm up.
Wonderful. So what about a boring habit that you have that gives you unfair results over time?
Consistency. I always show up.
So discipline.
Discipline is you cannot be motivated all the time. It is a dream. You cannot be inspired. You might be inspired for a day, 2 days, an hour, 2 hours. But if you are not disciplined, you go nowhere in life. You don't feel good, doesn't matter. Show up. How do you win all these awards? I show up. Show up. Be there. Oh, I'm tired. I won't feel like a gym. Still go to the gym. Warm up. Do the first set and see what happens. Show up. That's the strongest thing I have there.
The first step is the hardest step.
Yeah. Consistency. Again, it's just consistency. You know?
What about when you're lost?
Lost? I'm always lost. And that's fine. But again, loss is good because it makes you explore new things. Again, you cannot be born knowing everything. That's going to be so boring to live that life. Now, explore, learn things, try things, fail in things. Because if success is the door, the key is co-failing. The issue, we were programmed that failing is a bad thing. Our family, our friends, oh, you failed. And? So what? I lost money. Okay, how is this your problem? And again, I cannot listen to somebody give me advice about money when they haven't done it. I can't listen to somebody's advice about being afraid to him that haven't done it. That's why I'm always deaf to other people. You haven't done what I'm doing. You haven't reached my level. How am I going to listen to somebody below me to tell me how to do where I'm going next? That's it.
It's like someone teaching you about how to set up a business and they never set up a business.
Exactly. Or like somebody teach me to be a fit and he's fat. You can't. You can't.
Even if he was fit before?
Oh, that's different.
So, what is a failure you're now grateful for, other than the 617 rejections you have received?
I had a partner who, from that partner, I was in debt for 4 years and seven lawsuits. That made me learn to understand what energy is and observe people's behaviors, not words. That was the biggest one. Because everybody can say a lot of amazing things, but I don't care. I observe your behavior. What do you do? How you actually perceive yourself, how people perceive you. And also one more thing, like I see how you are with people you don't care about. The waiter, for example, how you treat a person. That for me is a big indication of what kind of person you are. Because I've seen billionaires who treat billionaires, their waiters like shit. And you just character, you float inside. And I see people who have nothing and they are very respectful. So again, for me, respect is an extremely huge step right or left for me.
I think that this is because you have that nature of character in yourself as well.
Yeah.
And you would assume that most people, you would want them to have that same character.
Like I've learned to see things, you know, okay, if I see this guy cheating his wife, okay, no.
Interesting.
If I see this guy doing this, yeah, set of things, you know, they're flags. Yeah, we can be dudes and so on, but like if I don't see you being consistent, because okay, if you're cheating the person in your life, like your wife or your woman, whatever it is, that's the person you're supposed to be, and the most important person in your life, and you're doing them wrong, what are you going to do to me? Get business with you. So that's very important, because always when I meet somebody, hey, I want to see your partner. Let's have dinner together.
Interesting.
And then I see the dynamic between them both.
That is very interesting.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that a lot of people, especially outsiders, misunderstand completely the city of Dubai?
If they've never been to Dubai, 100%. Until they come to Dubai, then they tell you, hey, can I get a job here? Every person that I have, my friends who came from America or Europe, came to Dubai the first time, within the first 4 days, how can I move?
They only want to move here.
Always. But people who hate Dubai usually never came to Dubai.
So what made them, the moment that decide that they want to move to Dubai?
Everything. It's, again, the, when you enter the airport, is the biggest. How's our airport? You know, when you enter, there's 60 windows for passports. One, you know, when you enter outside, there is ready Ubers and beautiful cars. Everything systematically goes. You go inside, the service level. We have an app for everything in Dubai. You can order anything, come to you in literally less than 50 minutes. The services, the lifestyle, the people, the weather when it's that summer. It's just like everything in the system here is beautiful. Again, this comes from a guy, I've been to 99 countries. So I've seen the world. I've seen North America, South America, Europe, Asia. I've seen that stuff. Nothing compares to this.
Very true. Yeah. I mean, even me living half of my life outside of this country, the service is unmatched.
Oh, yeah.
The customer service, and that is the way that people here respect you more than anywhere else. You will not find it.
Level of tolerance here is different. The respect that you say
there's
is
no
different.
Such thing as seeing the race of another person and disrespecting them.
And again, one more thing, safety. The biggest thing is safety here, that you walk around. We're blessed to walk around. We can wear those watches or the scars and keep the cars open. We don't have to have a gun in our hands to protect ourselves. There's, you know.
Safety is something that everyone should have as a privilege, as a human being.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Especially in a city.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you could leave this iPad somewhere right down the line.
Yeah.
And if it were in another country, you would never see that iPad again.
The whole table's gone.
For sure. So, what do you think of the people right here right now?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they get burned out faster because of the hustle culture that we had?
So Dubai is like a pressure cooker, okay? It's not the environment, it's what you're made of. Because you put in the cooker, you put eggs and potato. Either become hard or you're soft. So I think Dubai only reveals who we really are. It reveals who you are. If you are somebody who's hard and good, it will show that you are. And if you're weak, because the competition here is very, very strong. The standards is very, very, very high. And it's not easy. Like, you have to be the best of the best to survive here. Otherwise, not. So I think I'd be handed for you because you're in a city like this.
So most people think if they come to Dubai and they immediately succeed.
Cool story.
Yeah, yeah. Which is not the
case. Yeah. That doesn't happen anywhere in the world anyways.
A lot of people that I know personally, they come here without any savings.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Expect to get a job or expect to even, you know, build their success just from the get-go.
Yeah. Again, there is few cases that happen that you're in the right place, right time, and you get a job. Okay, fine, cool. But again, unless if you come prepared, number one, you come with the right attitude and the right energy and the right people connection, then you can't.
I see that too, but I believe that they should always have their savings for the 6 months ahead that they're here.
Yeah, I always ask people, how much savings do you have to survive in Dubai? Yeah. 1-2 months, it's not going to work for you.
It's not going to work. Because the moment they become broke, they have to go back home.
Exactly, and the issue, like, because Dubai have so much temptations. The food, the malls, the shopping, the places to go to. Because, like, if you're not rooted and you're purposefully in a mission, then you're going to lose all money very, very, very quickly. Like, I really go out to eat. Not from here.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Once a week, maybe.
Let's talk about the Emiratis.
Okay.
So what advice you would give to young Emiratis trying to break the mold?
Interesting question. I think we are afraid of judgment so much. Oh, but what is he going to say about me? Okay, here's the question. The issue is, like, no matter what you do, they're going to talk about you. You're doing amazing. You're doing bad. So do what you enjoy doing. Because again, you do not want to be 40, 50 years old. You know, all the people who are judging you, now they're gone. And all you're left with is resentment because you wanted to do something you didn't do. And you hold yourself back. Because you're the only person holding you back.
Mm.
You do something, if it's bad, if it goes good, alhamdulillah, it doesn't go bad, but it doesn't work for you. Guess what? You tried. You were true to your own self. I think that's the only thing, because I broke all the molds. I broke every single mold possible out there. I know people like me, people hate me, people think I'm show off or flashy, and either way, fine. I earned it myself. Nobody gave it to me. I didn't cause anybody, I didn't scare anybody. This is all my hard work. What did you do? Start taking money from me, daddy, mom. That's it.
Do you think there's a way for them to stand out from the crowd?
It's, again, do you want to stand out from the crowd? That's the question. Because it's not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It is not for everybody to do that. Like, why would you do that to yourself? Because again, that if you do that, people are going to talk about you. They're going to scrutinize you. They're going to, you know, give you their personal feedback. And the issue right now, everybody have a smartphone and there's free Wi-Fi everywhere. Mm-hmm. Everybody have an opinion.
True.
Yeah.
True. So if you weren't Aquaman today, let's say, what would you building in Dubai? What would you build?
Still going to be something fun.
So something related to entertainment.
Yes. It's going to be always something that I enjoy doing. If I don't enjoy doing it, I don't do it. Like, I like to have fun. Like, I'm usually always in short t-shirts with no shoes. I'm always having fun. Like, my pictures in the business is always me having fun. There's no serious pictures of me at all whatsoever. Because I don't understand that. Like, why? Have fun. Why would I be serious? Why? Who told you that business or money have to be serious?
It's interesting you say that because you're right now, we have 9 companies. How do you have fun when you have 9 companies?
I always do, because here's the thing. I do things that I enjoy doing and I work people that I enjoy working with. So even my people that work for me, like, I have 781 staff.
How much again?
780 staff. So again, like, and all of them have high level of emotional intelligence. I don't care about your IQ, I care about your EQ. And EQ is how you drive a business. It's an emotion. Because you don't want somebody who's very extremely smart, but then he is a horrible human being. The culture of the business becomes horrible. No, let's have fun doing this. Like, I don't have a single team meeting that it's more than half an hour. I don't understand that.
Like, I would assume that you're basically, your schedule is fully occupied from morning till night.
No, I'm here with you. Yeah, I'm here with you. No, again, the thing is this. There's something called the founder syndrome. When you think, because you're the founder, you know the best. Yes, you do. But guess what? If you're going to have that narrative, you will never grow as a business. So I understood this very early. So I let my ego out of the situation. And I've hired people that are trustworthy and eager to work. And then I gave them the power to operate. And this is your business. So you're my time, but it's not your business. So I will, if anything happens, I can't come to you. And everybody is okay. Yes, he might not do the 100% jump that I'm doing, but he might do 60%. But now I've gained 60% time that I can put in something else to grow my other business.
This is the thing that is very important when it comes to doing your own business. A lot of people think when you do your business, it means you running your business.
No. Here's the thing. It's as simple as we do. If you leave your business for the next month, will it still exist? No. So you're not a business owner. You basically just...
made yourself another job.
You are a solopreneur.
Yes.
Solopreneur or self-employed. That's all you are. The question is, like, if you leave, will it still continue going? That's number one. And then will it grow? And that's when you become a business owner.
So how do you find the right people?
Try and error.
Did you go
LinkedIn,
Upwork, Fiverr? What do you do?
Exactly. Depends. Referrals usually is a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, like, you know, being in the right spaces, you find the right people.
So in the surrounding area?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's always a referral because, again, I have a lot of network, a lot of people that I have. And literally, like, I think that day I wanted something. I remember it was midnight. I put a story in my page, and within... I remember I was in the plane. I just got in the plane. Before I put the story in, and before taking off, I had 30 qualified people talking to me on DM.
What was the job for?
It was just something with the what was it? The business development.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how do you measure those people? Yourself, you interview them?
Again, you will know from the phrase that we have, how they hold themselves, how they speak, how they approach you. You see their background, you see what they've done before. You can see these things. But ultimately, it's a half sit down with a person. I sit with you, I feed you, I ask some questions and see how you behave. And then I put you in a business. I try you. Let me see how
you are. Okay, you try them out.
Yeah.
Interesting.
If you pass the first stage.
How long you try them out for?
Somebody will really show you who they are in the first week.
First week?
Yeah. They will show you in the first couple of days.
Got it.
Yeah.
How do you avoid the fake?
Oh, it's easy. You see it very easily. We're from here. And I've seen so much fake around you. You know, the fake watches, the fake cars, the fake social media. You can see all these people very easily. You can see the way you carry yourself. You can know it. Again, this 100-hour per week makes you understand who is, who is not, quickly.
Do you still work 100 hour a week?
70, 80 now.
70, 80. Yeah. That's still a lot.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Okay.
I enjoy it. But I have, again, I have family while I do it. But now it's, the, again, like now, sometimes I would work only 30 hours. But again, it's very intense. Like my hour is very intense hour.
What about in terms of the terms that you hear, like work-family balance?
It's cute. It's very cute. I don't believe in balance. You want balance? Get a job.
Not business.
No business. I think harmony is a better word. Like doing that one thing for 2-3 hours that you enjoy doing will give you fuel to do the rest of the day better. But this whole, you cannot come and demand to be the best and build an empire and expect balance to happen. That is nothing but a dream. Science fiction doesn't exist.
For someone listening right now, if they're right now working in a job and looking to have this mission of fulfilling their business, whatever the business they want to set up, how do they know when they can fully dedicate to starting this business and leave their job?
Try.
Should they leave their job or should they first start the
business? It's okay. You have 24 hours a day, right? Okay, you work 9 hours. Okay, so you can meet 2 more hours in eating. Okay, cool. You sleep 6 hours. Okay, so now I have another 7 hours left. Okay, so if you sit down on TikTok and Instagram and all this nonsense, scrolling like, like a robot or cyborg, learn a new skill. Start your hustle. Start something. Build it slowly, slowly. Fail. Have hard time in that. Become better at it. Become better at it. Until that hustle becomes paying you more than your job or your actual job. Then leave that with this one.
So the moment it starts paying the same amount as your job?
You're wasting time.
Hmm.
We all have the same 24 hours. Why are you and this person making it happen and the other ones, you just finished work, you came here. You're doing this, you go somewhere else. So you're doing something. Why are you doing this? I'm not doing it. Would they compare why you're succeeding and you're everywhere? He said, because you're doing the job. It's very simple. We all have the same 24 hours. The difference is like, what are you doing this hours? Are you sleeping, wasting time? Are you going gossiping with all your other friends and smoking shisha and doing dumb shit? Are you work? What are you doing?
What are you doing with your...
What are you doing with your time? That's it.
That's very true because we get a little distracted a lot.
That's it. Because there's no excuse now. There's YouTube, there's ChatGPT, there's Google. You can learn every single skill in the world through that. That day, I remember I wanted to get... I spoke to an agency to do me something for my business. They charged me 50K. It's like, why? 1 second, ChatGPT, I want to do this. I have a long prompt. Okay, that's how I'm going to do it. Okay, show me how to code. I start copy-pasting, coding. It didn't work, change this. Within an hour and a half, I've coded the whole thing myself. I went downstairs to my beach. I started testing it, and I was fixing the bugs. Okay, this bug happened. How do I change this bug? Tuck, tuck, tuck. I've saved 50K, and it was done within an hour and 2 hours. These guys threw me 50K in 3 weeks. ChatGPT is there. Again, it is a tool that you can use to be productive or be an idiot.
And I think it really depends on how you ask the right question.
If you have prompt the right engineering, it is an art.
Mm-hmm.
I remember friends watch me do the prompting. It's like, how did you do that? Like, just like that. Just like that. Like that day, I had one friend, he's like a big crypto guy and he wants to be, he's like, bro, I want you to be my mentor. So who are you, my mentor? You do it, okay, fine. ChatGPT, how? Okay, here's it. ChatGPT, be my expert in social media influencing and be my, be my expert in social media and viral content and be specifically an expert in crypto. Dig, go in these handles, see what he's been doing, what's the best things he posted, why they were the best, analyze them, and then from there, tell me what is the best 10 posts I have to do. Give me a script for each one and the hook for each one and what to do with it. He freaked out. Copy, paste, send him WhatsApp. Bye. All there.
Sometimes people are lazy to do it.
It's all there. It's all there.
Sure. What's one mindset you have that people would probably call you delusional, but it actually works?
I don't understand the concept of no.
That's why you went to 670.
I don't understand the concept of no. I don't understand the concept of you can't.
Hmm.
Like, watch me. When you tell me you can't do this, watch me. Let's do this. And for me, it's like just, it's always like me competing with me. Like, okay, my role model in 5 years is me. In 5 years.
Mm.
I have, it's me.
You don't talk about anyone different. It's just about you.
Me. I surround myself with people who understand what we're going to do, what's the mission, what's the goal, what's the vision, and we just go at it. We have people around me that only we know, okay, let's go bigger, let's just do it.
So why do you think most people don't have that?
Because they choose, again, you are the fifth of the four people you spend time with. Choose your circle. You are not a tree. You can move. Nobody's handcuffed you to the stick. You know who's a clown and who's a fool in your life. You're the CEO of your own life. You hire and fire accordingly. You can't, okay, if a king go to a circus, the circus become a castle? No. The king become the clown. So do not allow clowns in your life, then why your life is circus?
Mm.
Shoes.
That's a very wise advice, I would say.
Oh, glad. Or, yeah.
Between a king and a circus, I definitely agree with that for sure. Ever had a moment where money, status, success didn't mean anything to you?
Yeah, a bunch of times. I think a couple of months ago, my best friend died and nothing I could do about it. And like, I just felt helpless and like, okay, all the money and success I have, I couldn't help my friend and not die. Even though, like, you know, if I managed, I would have done, but I couldn't do it.
How did he die?
She died from cancer.
From what?
Cancer.
Cancer.
Yeah, yeah.
They say health is the greatest blessing you can have.
This is the biggest one. But then I've learned something, but that's the whole thing. There were so many ways to help, but we couldn't help because systems or rules or regulations that allow it to do. That was the issue.
Mm.
But yeah. But that made me realize, okay, let me see how I can help more people in that space.
Are most entrepreneurs in Dubai, from your perspective, building businesses or are they just building brands?
It's a mix, but a lot of them are just building the illusion. They want to look successful. You know, like I know some guys who rent watches or find their issue or rent cars, find their issue. But don't come to people who are doing it and then try to find that you are not.
Mm.
You know, yes, I understand the concept of fake it till you make it. I understand the concept very, very, very well. But again, ultimately, the street only judges you on what you deliver. What do you deliver at the end of the day? The price, the product, the quality.
Do you think there's a lot of fake people?
Everywhere in the world.
Especially in the city?
Everywhere in the world. Every manager still will have that. Again, you just need to be able to filter and navigate fast. It's on you. Again, flags are there. The green flags and the flags are in front of you all the time. You just need to open your eyes and see them. Because just you believe, I don't believe in just energy. Okay, cool. Okay, so anybody can come in, like, you know, act that they are this. But again, watch, show me. Show me the work.
You once talked about character
just
a few minutes ago.
Yes.
What is something you'll never tolerate, no matter how successful someone is, other than that?
I think a big one is lies, gossip. Like I always like to see, does this person understand the concept of giving back? It's interesting. Because the biggest way to scale is to give back.
Mm.
It's like, what? Yeah, give back, scale. I never, because again, like, for me, I look at it as like, I'm always being tested. So I have to be able to always zoom out of what's happening and understand what am I being tested for. When I had nothing, I was tested. When I had everything, I was tested. When I have nothing, okay, I was tested, okay. Do I have faith? Do I continue going? Cool, I survived that. Then now God gave me everything, okay. What are you going to do with these things? Yeah. Be an idiot or you're gonna do good things with it. Do you get back or not? Like I give 20% of my income every month.
Really?
Yeah.
20%?
20%. Some money. Some money. It's God's money. It's not mine. I never had it before.
But why?
Because it's not mine. It's doing business with God.
Charity.
Yeah, anything you give, God will give you 10 times more.
And this is the thing that I wanted to know. From your perspective, when you were doing this type of cause, where you're giving 20% of your income, did you feel ever in the moment that it was also tripling your income?
Yeah, because I did the exercise 5, 6 years ago. I remember this very well. That's why I became very consistent with it. Usually, January to April is when we make the most money in Dubai location.
Mm-hmm.
And usually we do extra social media, or we do maybe ads, or we do some extra. I was like, this year, we do nothing. Nothing. Just let it be. So what? Do nothing. But in that time, I was given 20% properly. Okay, I have my charities, my orphans, my building wares, most, doing everything possible. Swear to God, by May, I was looking at accounts. We were doing 120 to 200% increase in sales.
200%
increase in sales. There was no actual factor that proved why.
You just didn't know.
That was it.
Happened.
Blessings.
MashaAllah. So you truly believe in that?
That's it. It says, that's it. It's not my money. It's not mine.
Is it because you feel like you have so much faith in God that you feel like you can go through this?
Yeah, it's yaqeen, certainty. It's happening, regardless. Every bad thing happened to me, it's God showing me, take a left, take a right. Everything wrong happened in my life, it's God showing me why it should be here. My best friend dying, that was God showing me a different way of doing things. Everything happened to me, there is a reason behind.
Do you feel that your faith is the reason for your success?
Only way.
Got it.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't have that faith, fortunately.
That's fine.
Yes.
That's why we are 1%ers. Yeah.
What's one story about you that people would never believe that's 100% true?
I used to sleep in my car.
In your car?
Yeah.
Which year was that?
13, 14.
2013?
Yeah, my business starting. Because like, I used to sleep in my office on my couch, I used to sleep in my car. Because like, I didn't sleep much. I was just always sleeping 4 hours a day, 5 hours a day. But between meetings, I would sleep in the car. I would like bed in location, and like the staff is going to home and I'm too far away, I can't go back home. Okay, I just put a seat back window down and just sleep in the car. Wake up and like broken, and it's okay, let's go again. I'd be the first one on the beach pulling and doing things with the guys.
And the faith was what's making you keep going.
Yes, despite that. I had a goal. Did I reach it? No. Why stop? That was it.
Very, very interesting. What would you like to say to the audience right now for anyone maybe suffering or looking to do something just as incredible as you have done?
I think
they were starting to do.
I think follow your own lane, follow your own passion, follow your own gut. His thing, when I was talking about energy, okay? So we have our thoughts and our words and our actions. The problem is that we think, we say, and we do. I think the universe or the world will only reward you when you're aligned. So have the habit, whatever you think, you can say, whatever you say, you will do whatever you do say, and vice versa. Don't be, because again, your confidence is a skill set that you learn, and it's the willingness for you to try. It's your reputation with yourself of saying, I will do a 5K run, I'm doing a 5K run. I'll wake up at 7 in the morning, I'll wake up at 7 in the morning. Because if you keep saying, I'm going to do a 5K run and you're doing 3, your unconsciousness say, you're just talking shit. So you need to have that level of, just the willingness to try. That's the hardest part, the leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You will never be able to fly until you jump. Yes, you might fall and scrap your elbows and knees from the rocks, but eventually you're going to be opening your wings and you fly. But you will never fly if you're just standing there.
So take the leap of faith.
Always. Cut the ropes, the anchors, and go. What's the worst case scenario? You fail? So what? I failed hundreds of times.
So there they have it. Take the leap of faith and go for it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ahmed.
You're welcome.
For really sharing some of your advice to the audience here and to me even personally.
Yeah.
I think learning about how much you said yaqeen, faith in God, and no matter how much struggles you're going through, I think that's the best thing you can take out of this.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.